If you will, take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and if you need a Bible, there's one in the pew there in front of you. Matthew chapter 6, and we're going to be reading verses 5 through 13. This, of course, is the same text we used last week. You say, why is that? Because I only got through point one last week in a time that was allotted. So we're going to go ahead and finish things up and add a little bit more to it. But I do think it'll be a blessing to you. On the subject of prayer, Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5, we'll stand out of love and respect for the word of God. We're sure glad you're here today, and what a joy it is to be in the house of the Lord together. Our custom has become here in our church that I get to read the odd verses because of my extreme oddity that I am. And you get to read the even verses because you're nice and even-keeled folks, and I enjoy having you around. It's a good compliment to my oddness. So I'll be reading in the odd verses, and then I'll read along with you in the even verses. And we'll read together beginning in verse 5 and then all the way down through verse 13. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking. Be not ye therefore like unto them. For your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask him. After this manner, therefore, pray ye. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Well, we are here in Matthew chapter 6. And of course, last week we discussed the subject of what is prayer. What is prayer? We concluded that prayer was simply in worship a solemn address to the supreme being, consisting of adoration, or an expression of our sense of God's glorious perfection, confession of sin, supplication for mercy and forgiveness, intercession for blessings on others, thanksgiving, and an expression of gratitude to God for his mercies and benefits. Here in Matthew chapter 6, we discovered that what most of religion calls the Lord's Prayer just so happens to be a model prayer rather than a particular prayer that Jesus prayed to his heavenly Father. We see in verse 9 that it said, after this manner, therefore, pray ye. So we see that it is indeed an example. But that example includes the things that Mr. Webster said were true of the definition of the word prayer. It begins with worship and adoration, an acknowledgement of who God is. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. We see that a sense of honor and glory and gratitude and praise attributed to God as it should. And then we see, if you will, after that acknowledgement, the forgiveness of debts and debtors, being not led into temptation. We see our a daily bread required and asked for. We see deliverance from evil. We see all the things that one might want to have or want to be a part of their lives by request to a holy, holy, holy God. And then at the end we see, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And if you'll remember, in our Sunday school class, back several months ago, we talked about prayer being an Oreo cookie. Okay? What makes an Oreo cookie unique is two identical cookies, right, surrounding the stuff in the middle. All right? Everybody loves the stuff in the middle. Everybody loves daily bread, forgiveness of sins, protection from God, all those things. You love that stuff. But oftentimes we forget about the cookie, the worship of God going in and the worship of God going out. You see, prayer is very similar to an Oreo cookie. And no, I did not bring you Oreo cookies today. But you see, we understand what prayer is. And can I tell you something? We think prayer is about us. But regardless of what we think, prayer is about Him. It's about Him. God wants us to come to Him. God wants us to speak to Him. God wants us to, if you will, commune with Him. You see, when Jesus began this passage, He says, "And when thou prayest," He assumes that we're going to. He says, hey, not if you pray. He says, when you pray. He wants us to come to Him. He even tells us that as a child of God, because of Jesus Christ, we can come boldly before the throne of grace. We can. God wants us to find grace and help in our time of need. He says, "And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward." So prayer is not for us. It's not for our benefit, if you will. It's not for us to be seen and to be considered holy or pious. But rather, it's to talk to God. Look at verse 6. When thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. You know what? You know what prayer is? It's talking to God. It's asking Him for things. It's worshiping Him. It's making Him a part of our lives. Opening up to Him. We know in 1 John 1:9 it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." In verse 7 here He says, "But when ye pray, use not vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard for their much speaking." You understand that God already knows what you need. He just wants to talk to you. So it's not some memorized prayer. It's not some thing you read out of a prayer book. God wants you to pray, to talk to Him. I mean, how many of you carry around a book of predetermined statements? And when you say, "Oh, hello there, best friend, how are you? Let me see. What should we talk about today? Let's go to paragraph 2, line 6. Let's read this and let's converse back and forth." What? No, we don't do that. If you do that, you're very weird. Okay? Come on. I mean, why does some pre-written mechanical thing count as prayer? I mean, you just, "God, let's have story time. I'm going to read you a story, God." What? Why? No, that's not what prayer is. Last week we talked about prayer of supplication, entreaty, humble and earnest, in asking and in worship. We read about Solomon begging God to be with His people upon the dedication of the temple. And all the things about how Israel was to be true and to be true to their God. And if they did go away from Him, that if they were to pray and to call upon His name, that He would hear them. He would rescue them. He would restore them. You understand that we call upon the Lord for salvation. We believe. We call upon Him. Confession is made with the mouth. And we understand that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I'm not going to re-preach last week's message. Okay? If you'd like to hear it, we have it posted. You can go either hear it or see it if you'd like. But today we're going to continue on exploring what prayer is. Prayer is something we need to have in our lives. It needs to be an important part of our lives. And may I again, once again state, it is not about you or me. It's about God. It's about God. Take your Bibles and turn to Nehemiah chapter 11. Nehemiah chapter 11, that's in the Old Testament, before the book of Psalms. Nehemiah in chapter 11. First today, we're going to talk about prayer of thanksgiving and praise. Thanksgiving and praise. Did you know that God is the only one worthy of glory and honor and praise? He is. He is the only one worthy of glory and honor and praise. And when we talk to him, we should praise his name. Look at verse 17 there of Nehemiah in chapter 11. It says, "And Mattaniah, the son of Micah, the son of Zabdi, the son of Asaph, was the principal to begin the thanksgiving in prayer. And Bakbukiah, then the second among his brethren, and Abda, the son of Shammua, and the son of Galel, the son of Jeduthun." Now, if you don't know anything about Jeduthun and Asaph, just read through the Psalms and you will see over and over again those two men's names mentioned as psalmists in Israel. You understand that these were the heritage of these two men. And they were in charge of making a prayer of thanksgiving amongst the people. You see, it was passed down from generation to generation to generation to bring and give thanksgiving and praise to God. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, just a few pages. I guess it would be to the right. Psalm 100. I think I've encouraged you this before, to memorize this psalm. It's a good one to stick in your back pocket, if you will. "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations." Oh, listen, if our hearts and our minds would be set on that particular fact, that the Lord is good, that we are to enter into his presence with singing, we're to come before him and enter into his gates with thanksgiving. You understand that God is to be praised. We should be thankful to him and we should bless his name because he's good and his mercy endureth to all generations. How do you feel about that? Do you feel that way? Hey, if you do, you ought to express it. Prayer is an expression of those things to our great God. In Psalm 26, David says, "I will wash mine hands in innocency. So will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth." In Psalm 95, David says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great king above all gods. In his hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is his also. The sea is his, and he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Is that what prayer is to you? How often is your prayer time consumed with this? You see, David, I believe without a shadow of a doubt, according to Psalm 100 and Psalm 26 and Psalm 95, and we're going to see a few more, that he is consumed with this thing of prayer, of thanksgiving and praise. Is God not worthy? Doesn't he deserve a little bit of loving on, if you will? That's a good southern term, right? Yeah. Oh, I think he is. But when's the last time, as the Bible says, you entered into your closet and you got down before the holy, holy, holy God of heaven? You know, this is a good way to enter into the courts of a king. To the God of gods. To the one who's deserved honor. I mean, that's a good idea. When's the last time, instead of just saying, God, give me this and give me that, and I need this and I need that, and my friend needs this, and I got someone that's got cancer, and this person had an accident, and I lost my job, and I need some money, and I'm going to lose my house, and my kids have gone away from God, and all these things, all that stuff in the middle of the Oreo. When's the last time you set that aside? Just came into God's presence and just grabbed a hold of him and said, God, I want to love you, and I want to thank you, and I want to praise you. And just spent 10, 15, 20, 25, 30, 60 minutes just loving on God. Just thanking him and praying to him, praising his name. You say, I've never done that. Try it sometime. And let me tell you this. It'll change your life. It'll change your life. Absolutely, without a doubt. Listen, we spend an easy an hour just watching a TV show. Or on Facebook. Or watching YouTube silly cat videos. Easy. It was the last time he just thanked and praised God for all that he is for an hour. I mentioned last week we sing Sweet Hour of Prayer. Sweet Hour of Prayer. When's the last time a Bible-believing Christian ever spent an hour in prayer? I'd say few and far between. You say, you're just a skeptic, maybe. Or maybe it's the truth. I think more like sweet minute of prayer. Sweet minute of prayer. Unfortunately. Because a lot of people, they sit down to the meal. And if they do pray for their meal, they say, good God, good meat, good Lord, let's eat. And that's about the substance of their prayer time. But prayer is to be one of something of praise and thanksgiving to God. The act of rendering thanks and expressing gratitude for favors and mercies. We understand that God is good and his mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. So he is worthy of it. This thing of thanksgiving and praise. The expression of gratitude for personal favors conferred. Did you know that you did not deserve to take a breath today? God let you. He allowed you to. Hey, did you know that you don't deserve to have a place to live? Have food on the table? Have a car to drive? Have a job to go to? You don't deserve any of those things. God in his mercy has afforded you those things. And you ought to glorify and extol his name. Oh, Psalm 107 says, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. May I today echo that of the psalmist and say, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Oh, I wish we would. As we should. Psalm 116 verses 17 and 19 says, I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. David said, I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. Hey, if anything today, am I stirring up something inside of you? Oh, I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Maybe just an idea of, oh boy, I should praise God a little bit more in my life. I should call unto him in prayer and thank him for who he is, because he is all those things to me. In Psalm 147, the Bible says, praise ye the Lord, for it is good to sing praises unto our God, for it is pleasant, and praise is comely. The Lord doth build up Jerusalem. He gathereth together the outcasts of Israel. He healeth the broken in heart, and bindeth up their wounds. He telleth the number of the stars. He calleth them all by their names. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. The Lord lifteth up the meek. He casteth the wicked down to the ground. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise upon the harp unto our God, who covereth the heaven with clouds, who prepareth rain for the earth, who maketh grass to grow upon the mountains. You understand that God is to be thanked and to be praised. Take your Bibles and turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. That's in the New Testament, about the middle or so of the New Testament. And as you turn there, I'm going to read to you what a heathen king humbled in his pride, humbled rather, because of his pride, by God, said at the end of his humbling. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. You understand that, if you go read that story, it's a pretty cool story. Then Nebuchadnezzar was humbled before a holy, holy God. And in all of his humbling, after he came to his senses, he praised and extolled the God of heaven. You know what? We ought to do the same. God is the one to be glorified. His works are truth. His ways are judgment. Are you there in Philippians 4? Look at verse 6. It says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, oh my goodness, in everything, by prayer and supplication, that's good, right? Being earnest, being sincere, being bold to come to God's throne. But he says, with thanksgiving. Yeah. With thanksgiving, he says. Let your requests be made known unto God. Do you know that we do not, God does not owe us anything? He doesn't. So we ought to come to him, yes, boldly, but not brashly. We don't come in making demands to God that he should do this and needs to do that, but rather with thanksgiving, with humility, with submission. We come to God and make our requests known to him. Colossians 4 says, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying for us, also for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Even in heaven, as we see a scene around the throne of God, it says this, after this I beheld in chapter 7, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God, saying, amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving
and honor and power and might be unto God, our God, forever and ever. Amen. You know what? That's what prayer is. That's what prayer is. It's about thanksgiving. It's about praise. It's about coming to God. And yes, it's about having our needs met and our sins forgiven. It's about our supplication to Him and an earnest beseechment of what God is to us and will do for us. But mostly, it's about Him. It's about worship. It's about praise. It's about thanksgiving. Well, once again, you're either flipping too slow or I'm being too expressive. But here we go. Not only is prayer thanksgiving and praise, not only is prayer supplication to God and talking to God and worshiping God, but it ought to be done on a continual basis. In Acts chapter 12, the Bible says this, Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. Now, what, may I say, did that do for Peter? Prayer without ceasing. It got him out of jail. That's what got him. Yeah, God sent an angel and got him right out of the middle of that prison. He was sleeping, chained to the guards. Yeah. And he was let out. He even got to the door and knocked on the door. And the little maid thought it was his ghost. Oh, they killed Peter. His ghost is knocking at the door. No, but it was him. They wouldn't even let him in for a little while. They thought it maybe was a trick to try to arrest the rest of them. Anyways, prayer without ceasing. What makes you stop praying? What makes you end your spirit of prayer? What makes you cease and desist to pray? Or to fail to pray? Is it the comfort of life? You know what? Everything's fine. Got a job. Got money in the bank. Mortgage is paid. Car's doing fine. Good health. We don't need to pray. We fail to pray. Forget to pray. Stop praying. We become complacent. Apathetic. Romans chapter 1 verse 9 says, For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. 1 Thessalonians 1 3 says, Remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. 1 Thessalonians 5 17 says, Simply, pray without ceasing. Now listen, we're not all to become monks pacing around the halls of the church, chanting and uttering prayers. Okay? That's not praying without ceasing. But it's a spirit of prayer. It's a sense of being in communion with God all the time. As a part of the military, we had vacations. We had work schedules. We had times where we were on the clock and off the clock. But we had a saying. Those of you that are part of the military, and in honor of Veterans Day, I want to say thank you to all the veterans that served our country. But as I was in the service, we had a saying. It was 24/7, 365. You know when I was a military member? You know when I was on call, when I was on duty? 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. And if it was a leap year, 366. I didn't get a day off. But that was okay. That's what I signed up for. You know when we should be in prayer with God and in tune with God and in communion with God? 24/7, 365. Pray without ceasing. God wants us to be continual in prayer. There are many examples. The children of Israel, they begged Samuel, the prophet, cease not to cry unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And in chapter 12 of 1 Samuel, it says, and all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, listen to what Samuel says. God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you. Wow. Wow. He said, hey, folks, I don't agree with what you did. I don't like how you've treated me as a prophet of God, but it would be a sin for me to stop praying for you. Wow. How many times have you ever read that passage of scripture and skipped over that? He said, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. For consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. First Chronicles, David said, give thanks unto the Lord. Call upon his name. Make known his deeds among the people. Sing unto him, sing psalms unto him, talk ye of all his wondrous works. Glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them that rejoice, that seek the Lord in his strength, seek his face continually. In Ephesians chapter 1, the Bible tells us, wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, in making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. Ephesians 6:18 says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Colossians, Paul said, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you, and desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. You understand that our prayer ought to be continual. It ought to be without ceasing. What's going to make you stop praying? What's going to make you fail to pray? What's going to make you cease and desist in praying and calling upon the name of the Lord? You see, folks, I told you it's going to take me a whole month to get through this. Because prayer is such a large subject. It's something that needs to be explored. It's probably one of the greatest things that we have in our possession, but yet the least used of those things. How often do you pray? Is it without ceasing? One person kind of described it as picking up the phone in the morning and then just kind of leaving it, the line open all day long. I mean, listen, I'm for having set times to pray and things like that, but can I tell you something? What's stopping you from just, in the middle of your workday, just saying, God, thank you for who you are and what you've done for me and your gift of salvation? I mean, what's hindering you from doing such? Isn't he not, I think we already established he's deserving of it. Isn't he? I think he is. Well, God wants us to pray. He's given us the elements of prayer. We kind of are gathering an understanding of what it is, that it's not about us, but it's about him. And that we ought to do it on a continual basis.